Wait, today.
America Tonight, each and every show, as you all know, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. One of our favorites, of course, Victoria Jones. Victoria, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Boy, your home country of the UK not doing so well. We've talked about that a bunch here on America Tonight. I was, before I went on the air on our last show, there was like 75 fires that had been set all over the place in and around London. My goodness, how do the police and the firefighters keep up with all of this? It's very sad what's happening.
It's very sad what's happening, and they're really not able to keep up with it. I mean, it's just beyond anything that anybody's ever seen. The courts can't keep up with it. The prisons can't keep up with it. Nobody can keep up with it. And, you know, and basically people are just beyond themselves. I read a fascinating story about one Labour council member from Edmonton, which is a tough area in London. You know, so he's pretty far left, who spent a lot of time looking out of his bedroom window at plumes of smoke coming from a factory that looters set on fire. And he said, this is a direct quote from him. He said, "Look, I'm a lefty. I believe in redistribution. I believe in the politics of the street. But to me, that means Tiananmen Square, not some kid smashing in a record shop. This is bull bleep."
Yeah, no kidding. I like how people, a lot of the shopkeepers and whatnot, are just in a solidarity show, are trying to line up and sort of block the gangs, but very tough to see what's happening on video. Some of the, you know, this is radio, but as I tell the listeners, Victoria, what you see, these pictures are just shocking. I've seen riots before, and I've seen certainly chaos and violence. We've seen that in the Middle East and Egypt and some of these uprisings. But it's very sad to see what's happened in London the last 5 days. Very, very sad, no doubt about that.
It really is. And yet some people are saying you can't even call these riots because a riot has to have a political component.
Yeah.
And they're saying that at this point there is no political component here. And so they're not even – some people are you know, some people who follow riots, you know, like academics are saying they won't even call them a riot.
Yeah.
They're just calling them, they don't even have a word for this.
Sure. It's just that people are that stunned, absolutely. Let's move on to Washington as we keep an eye on the UK, but let's move on to Washington and this super committee. What's going on there, this deficit panel? Because now members are starting to emerge. Some choices are starting to emerge as to who's going to be on this panel. What do you know about that?
Well, there are six places on the panel. Six Republicans, six Democrats, House, Senate, House, Senate. And three Democrats were announced from the Senate yesterday, and all six Republicans were announced today. So we're just waiting for Nancy Pelosi's picks. These six Republicans are stalwart, conservative, all big tax cutters. They've all signed Grover Norquist's pledge, making it increasingly likely that any real tax revenues are going to be on the table, really. They're a mixture on a mixture of committees, but nevertheless, you've got Pat Toomey, who's a real Tea Partier. You've got Rob Portman, who used to do budget for Bush. So you've got an interesting mix. You've got Dave Camp, who's chair of House Ways and Means, Commerce Chairman Fred Upton, Republican Conference Chairman Jeb Hensarling. I mean, these are all very solid, real right conservative people. And then the Democrats appointed a strange mixture, at least Harry Reid did, of Patty Murray to be the chair, then John Kerry, whose experience is in foreign relations, and Max Baucus, who is chair of the Finance Committee. So it makes sense in a sense, except that progressives are saying he's so moderate that he's likely to give away the farm.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I thought the same thing when I was looking through some of the stuff out of D.C. I was surprised by that. And the thing that you and I have talked about is really, at the end of the day, not to just put a negative pall over this, but you just spelled it out when you're talking about you're talking about the representation on this super committee. Are they really going to come to any kind of a consensus? Let's be serious. It's not looking good.
No, it's not looking good. And I think the feeling in Washington is that, my feeling certainly, is that it wasn't looking good before, and it's looking much worse now.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Speaking of looking worse, wow, the Dow dropped again. The Dow down 520 points, so the market's rocking all over the place. What are they saying in D.C. about the stock market?
Well, I mean, they're very worried. I mean, I said earlier in the week that the word is volatility, and that's the word that we just have to stick with for probably for a few weeks to come, and not focus on what happens in the stock market every day, because it's going to drive us absolutely mad. To some extent, what was driving the stock market today was France. They're worried. The president had a scheduled meeting today with his economic team and with Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner, and they discussed, quote, the economic and global recovery, the economy and global recovery, and they discussed the outlook for the recovery and for jobs, as well as fiscal issues, including the need to tackle long-term deficit reduction. So that really tells you absolutely nothing about what they discussed, but I think it was probably a very, very tough meeting.
Yeah. So from the stock market to what a wild twist, Sarah Palin, the Palin bus tour rolls into Iowa this week, and that's right before the straw poll. What's the buzz on Palin out of the Capitol?
This is just so weird. It's people are going like, well, wait a second. She started the bus tour. She stopped, which nobody knew where it was going. She stopped the bus tour, just stopped it cold when she hadn't finished the bus tour. And then suddenly she says, oh, we're happy to jump back. We accept with gratefulness, and the word actually is gratitude, an invitation to meet folks at the Iowa State Fair. And so she was invited, which is fascinating. But she's really, you know, going to overshadow the straw poll, which, of course, she knows perfectly well. And so off she goes on her One Nation tour to revitalize the fundamental restoration of America by highlighting our nation's heart, history, and founding principles.
And then Rick Perry, too. So
who is expected to? The rumors are that he will announce on Saturday straw poll day, so that'll suck the oxygen out of the room.
Yeah, no kidding. It would be it would be fun to be there just to see what happens as everyone moves around. I think when you look at the people that are going to be there in Iowa, it's a preview of things to come maybe in 2012 as we get closer. Sadly, we moved to the Middle East, and now there's these calls to get rid of Assad, President Assad in Syria, and the Syrian situation. In my mind, Victoria has just gotten lost in the sauce because of everything else that's going on in the Middle East. So what do you think happens with Assad?
Well, I don't know whether he'll go. He shows no signs of going. He is a strong man, and he has control of the situation by sheer force. But the Obama administration is apparently preparing to make an explicit call for him to step down. They have imposed some tough new sanctions on his regime today. And the State Department has basically broken off efforts to work with his government. So it's expected that it'll be tomorrow that the White House plans to announce this tough stance on Assad and probably to call for him to step down.
Yeah. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News. Thanks a lot. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
Outside of Washington, huge news, retaliation, baby, for the 30 Americans who were killed over the weekend when their Chinook helicopter was downed. In fact, 38 people altogether, Afghan and coalition service troops. But the big news is, like I said, there has been a retaliation. Take a listen to General John Allen, who says exactly what happened.
At approximately midnight on 8 August, coalition forces killed the Taliban insurgents responsible for this attack against the helicopter, which we assess was an RPG round.
All right, so there you go. Short and sweet. They say there was an exhaustive manhunt, and the special op guys located Mullah Muhalabula and the shooter after getting a whole bunch of leads and tips from some of the locals in this eastern part of Afghanistan. So the two guys were trying to flee the country knowing that they would have targets on their back, but the targets were lit up, baby, and they were nailed. So NATO calls for an airstrike when they knew there was no civilians around in that area, and they got them. They got the shooter. They got the two that were connected with this. And does it do anything for the comfort of the families who lost fathers and sons and grandsons and all that? Of course not. But at least they got them. They didn't wiggle away through the rocks and the cracks somewhere. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta decided to release the names, the ranks, the hometowns of all of those killed in the crash. And they're going to do that in the next 24 hours. I think bravo to that. I understand when they came back, tough to identify because it was such a horrific crash, I get that. I get that there was no coverage there, but I think there is the need to personalize, and these men should be recognized. So the best way to do that, some has trickled out. Some of the names have trickled out, of course, but just release everybody. It was just the other day that the two C-17s brought the remains of the 30 U.S. troops killed and also the Afghans involved as well in the crash back to the Dover Air Force Base. And, of course, everybody was on hand. When I say everybody, you know, the president was there, Panetta was there, the Joint Chiefs Chairman, of course, Admiral Mike Mullen, and really anyone in the military who could get there. They scrambled, they dumped their schedules, as they should have, and they got there. There was a little bit of a ceremony, and they honored, in a way, the guys that were coming off the caskets, because there were so many caskets. And it took a long time, frankly, to unload them. They had the honor guard and the traditional thing that you would think that you would see in these circumstances. So the big news, though, is the fact that these 22 Navy SEALs, three Air Force guys, and a dog handler and his dog, all part of the crew that was killed. And all but two of the SEALs, by the way, were from SEAL Team 6. I think we've probably said that a couple of times. Worth throwing that in there again. Well, now there has been some blowback and retaliation for that. So an airstrike killed the Taliban, the two Taliban guys, militants, if you want to call them that, behind this crash, as you heard the general talk about it there. And as I said, it doesn't erase what happened. Is it going to make the ultimate sacrifice, make the families feel any better? I don't know, not necessarily. It makes me feel better. It makes me feel better that they immediately dove into this and they were able to get them, like I said, because it could have perhaps been easy for them to get over that border. And for once, this time, they did not get over the border, because otherwise, what would the questions be? Do we know who's responsible? Are we any closer to catching the people who are responsible? That's what the questions would be in the upcoming days and weeks. Now, that is done. That is over with. Unless, of course, you believe in conspiracies, perhaps, and you think that this was info that was set out there to quell the whole thing. But I don't think so. I'm thinking that the military immediately scrambled, knew there would be a lot of backlash for it, of course, because the amount, especially the amount of men that we lost, and they did what they do well. With the covert stuff, with the information, they got it. They nailed them. And, of course, the two Taliban guys, you don't think they didn't know? The second it happened, especially when the amount of the loss of life was announced, that they were done, that they were toast unless they got over the border into Pakistan, and they didn't make it. They didn't make it. Since we're going down this path for a second here, and I'm thinking of this Navy SEAL team, because there's a lot to jam on this hour of America Tonight. I want to follow up with this. I saw something today that the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, and that would be, you know, one of the main guys responsible here would be Pete King, the congressman from New York. He's calling for an investigation into the administration's basically allowing access to filmmakers who are recreating the Operation Forces mission that killed Osama bin Laden. So check this out. I didn't know anything about this. I mean, of course, you assume that there was going to be movies, there would be something that would come out about this, and immediately once the whole bin Laden thing happened. But in a letter to the Inspectors General of the Defense Department, the CIA, King, Congressman King, is saying that the administration's first duty in declassifying materials is to provide full reporting to Congress. See, they always skip that step. Oh, Congress, that's right. And that's what he's saying. So they have to tell Congress and the people, you and me, the people in the country, to build what he's calling public trust through transparency of government. It's interesting because one of the things that the Obama people were supposed to deliver when they stepped into the White House. That was their thing. We're going to be transparent, and they haven't been transparent. It's like Ellen Ratner, who's come on with us many, many times from Washington, who couldn't be more liberal, by the way, says that she can't believe how sealed up the White House is because they swore coming in they were going to be so transparent it was going to be ridiculous. And as she said, they're anything but transparent. Trying to get any information, just normal updates, is pretty tough from the White House. So now King takes the opportunity and says, whoa, you got a filmmaker in here, you're recreating this stuff, and we don't know all of this? No. So he sent this letter just a couple of days ago, and it was interesting because what he specifically said, I'm going to give you the quote, he said, in contrast, this alleged collaboration belies, love that word, a desire of transparency in favor of cinematography view of history. So the movie, and this is the other interesting part of this, the movie is the creation of Kathryn Bigelow. Remember her name? She won an Academy Award for directing The Hurt Locker. That was her baby. So Kathryn Bigelow and Mark Boal, they're both involved in this. And I guess how some of that came out, thanks to the mouth that roared for the New York Times, Maureen Todd talked about it, said something about it in a column that she did. And so that effectively blew it out in case somebody didn't know that this was going on. So it's a film project about the pursuit of bin Laden, about the decade-long pursuit of bin Laden, and actually it's been in the works for a while, for years. And the efforts for this film, they say, has really been part of three administrations. And that's what they're showing. So the Pentagon, they weren't trying to hide anything. They were being transparent on this one. They said, yeah, we're cooperating with this. Yeah, sure. We're doing that. But the project is only in the script phase. And the Department of Defense is providing assistance with the script research, which they say they do for established filmmakers, so that there's an accurate portrayal. The CIA says the goal is an accurate portrayal. Do you think Hollywood ever has an accurate portrayal? Are you kidding me? So interesting that Pete King blew up over this. I don't know, what do you think? Much ado about nothing, or does he have a point? Military folks, CIA, are they going to be able to screen the film before it gets released? Will it blow anyone's cover? Is it leaking classified information? I don't know. Makes a little bit of sense to me. Stay with us, we're kicking a can down the road.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Hindi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 cap summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
I brought no one with me. No one will be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Take it to
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic, land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has 3 different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, 3-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-45 9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Whoa, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, when it came to winning.
All right, if you don't mind, we're going to go out to the woodshed here on America Tonight. You know that old expression where they'd say, get a switch, especially in the South. They used to use that about the woodshed. All you Southerners know what I'm talking about. Well, we all were taken to the woodshed across America. If you have anything at all in the stock market, because once again, it was crash and burn, baby. I'm telling you, you got to hang on with a death grip if you're standing there at the craps table for this gamble that has now become Wall Street. Not that it's not always a gamble and not that it's not always risky. So while the White House was busy defending whether or not they were telling some famous filmmakers secrets about bin Laden and the pursuit of bin Laden, others across the real world, the rest of the world, were worried about the stock market and their 401ks. It was very bleak, my friends. If you were closing your eyes and trying to ignore what happened, I'm going to have to insist that you open your eyes. Dow closed down 519 points. Yep. Remember, this is after the Federal Reserve said it was planning on keeping interest rates very, very low for 2 more years. Then there was a little bit of confusion over that. So there was a comeback, and then there was a tank. Hump day. Hump day can be nasty. You know, it's one of those things where Wednesday is like a coin flip. You know, it's 50-50. Wednesday is one of those days. It's different from the end of the week. You can have a crappy, awful, sucky Friday. But you know the weekend's there, right? Even Monday, people are a little bit lethargic, even if they love what they do. It's just one of those kind of days. But Wednesday, there's just black and white. It's either good or it is really bad. It was a bad Wednesday. So here we go again. all the gains that were made up are erased. The Dow was down almost 5%, but to be exact, 4.6 for the day. It was the ninth steepest decline for the market. So now the Dow, if you're keeping track of this, NOIM, has lost more than 2,000 points in the last 2 weeks. Yeah. Last 2 weeks, 2,000 points. And it's just, I mean, it's more than Alka-Seltzer is what you would need to get through the day if you were watching constantly where the stocks were going. It's very much like 2008 when all the stuff happened with the banks too big to fail and what are we going to do and the hysteria over we're dead in the water, we're screwed if somebody doesn't come in, if the government doesn't bail them out. You know, because you would see those kind of swings. You could see 1,000 points or so in a day. In the meantime, check this out. Gold above 1,800 an ounce. 1,800 an ounce. How about that? Do you know, less than 2 weeks ago, gold was 1,621? So just think about that for a minute. Even if you had gotten into gold, let's go beyond that. Let's say if you had gotten into gold just a little bit. You know, you don't have big cash, but just a little bit. If you'd gotten into gold even like 4 months ago, boom, bada bing, you've already made some quick money back, right? I mean, provided you're maybe hanging on to some, maybe selling some off, I don't know. Yeah. So, gold continues to shatter records. Our money is better use as kindling, and we continue to tank on that front. So, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in Italy and Spain and all the other countries and the struggles they're having, which we already know, and in Greece, it is a wild, wicked frontier out there. And scary stuff, man. Scary, scary, scary. If you think it doesn't affect you, I'm not going to go through that whole rigmarole again, but just ask yourself, do you have a 401k? If you have a 401k at your work and you think, oh, it's pretty good, just take a little out. They told me to pick some stocks in the beginning of the year, when the quarter opened or whatever, and you did it, and now you better go back and check those. I think they have hotlines, so go check the hotlines. And trust me, I used to work for CBS, right? And they had an aggressive 401k, because, of course, when you work in radio, you sacrifice everything, right? And by the time you're making a little money, I'm just saying, for some of us, then by the time you get there, ooh, aggressive 401k sounds good to me, right? And it was good. It was a smart thing to do. It was a smart financial thing for me to do, except for the market tanked. So I lost a big chunk of change. I'm relating to all of you, and I know you know what I mean. It's not millionaires. It's not always the millionaires, because they've got a ton of money that they can roll into cash, and they roll out there, and they have quick hits where they grab some of these gains and then sell off. I mean, we're talking about the person who's just trying to make a little bit of money. And I think, I'll just tell you straight up, I think mine, because I don't like to think about it, I think mine lost like, I want to say like $25,000, something like that. That's a big hit. That means I'm going to eat more hamburgers when I retire. So, I can relate. Now, you know how I'm a big fan of polls. So, we had a couple of interesting polls that came out in the last day or two, and I don't think that I hit all of them. I like the Rasmussen poll sometimes. Some people will tell you, oh, that's skewed and that's right wing, but a lot of times this poll is dead on, and this is a shocker. And I guarantee there's some of you listening to me, maybe some of you guys up there in Virginia Beach, and some of you in Connecticut, and some of you listening to me in Illinois, and some listening in the great state of Texas. You know, the Rasmussen poll is saying that the Tea Party is now favored over Congress. Yeah. So more voters say the average Tea Party movement backer in Congress, right? So like your Senator Rand Paul, for example, understands America's problems better than the average congressman. The latest Rasmussen reports, they do the national, you know, telephone poll stuff. They found that 42, because I'm going to give you the numbers, 42% of likely U.S. voters believe Tea Partiers get it. They get it. While 34% say the average congressman and senator isn't clued in at all to the economic and other problems we're facing in this country. Gee, you think? I'm going to say that across the board, you could label yourself anything that I think most of us would say that. 24% of those surveyed said they were undecided about who knows what. See, isn't that terrible? It shows you, you know, we don't even know who knows what. Some people don't even know who knows what. So overall, the poll found that just 36% of voters now have a favorable opinion of the Tea Party. 44% view the Tea Party in an unfavorable light. 20% are undecided how they feel. But what it shows you is, again, big differences in how Americans who say they're either Democrats or Republicans look at things. And they broke it down in an interesting way. 60% of those who say they're Democrats say they have more confidence in the average lawmaker than in the Tea Party. On the other side of it, 68% of the Republicans polled give a thumbs up to the conservative Republican members. So what does that tell you? You know, what it tells you is, I think we need a third party. But I thought that all along. And people drum me on the head for that. They don't think that's doable. I disagree. I think that eventually, and this is where we're headed, as more people clamor for change and there's more gridlock, we might see that emerge. We might see that third party emerge. Not just conversation, but for real. And what it looks like, I mean, you know, there's a couple of schools of thought. It could go in a couple of different directions. How about something simple like the Party of Common Sense? How about the Cut the Crap Party? And when they don't know, I don't know. I have no idea. This is why I voted this way. This is what I'm doing. But it's just, there's so much spin. And really, it's very tough for anyone who goes into that game to not get stuck in this spin that envelops you when you go to the Capitol. It's just how it is at this point. So there was a CNN poll also that showed that most Americans favor some tax increases on the wealthy. This was just released. 63% of the people surveyed say they favor that tax hike for higher income Americans and businesses. Although 57% say they also want to see major cuts in domestic spending as part of the deficit reduction proposal. But two-thirds of the people that they polled in this particular poll say that they don't want anyone to touch Social Security, that they should keep their hands off Social Security and Medicare. 53% said they didn't want any cuts from the Pentagon budget. 53. 9 in 10 are against tax increases on the middle class and lower income earners. That makes sense because you think, well, mostly who would they be polling? I mean, little has changed there. A third of Americans still believe that taxing higher income folks could hurt job creation, right? But 62% say higher taxes on the wealthy would enable the government to spend more on programs to help the poor. Where are we headed with that? The bottom line is Social Security and Medicare are not safe. They're safe maybe for now, but they are not safe. You know, when people call this show and they say, oh, I'm never going to see Social Security, or occasionally I say that, it is the truth. Boy, when there was that conversation about sending the money that you already paid into Social Security in a check to you, and it was Bush who kind of broached that, and he was just slammed around for it. I thought, wow, what a brilliant idea. We're all going to have to learn about finances and handle them on our own because we cannot rely on this government. Coming up next, a wild story that broke today on Huffington Post. Wait till you hear this one.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
In 1965, this was
the sound. Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. Here on America Tonight, it's an interesting phenomenon. We've actually talked about something similar to this, but wow, this story is off the charts in the Huffington Post. It was written by Amanda Fairbanks, and the gist of the story is about college students, for one, using older guys or sugar daddies to pay off student loans, to pay off debts. And it's, you know, sex for tuition, basically, which is this something new? Is this a new phenomenon of women selling their bodies to pay off their college bills? Is it gotten so out of control that, you know, they look in the mirror and say, well, how am I going to pay this, you know, 60 grand or whatever it is? But I think a lot of people are stunned by it. Amanda, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Kate, thanks so much for having me. Really happy to be here.
When you started to do this story, you started to, you know, do some of the research on this. Were you surprised at the numbers and the stories that you were finding out?
You know, I really was truly shocked. I mean, I cover education in general, and I spend a lot of my time speaking with sort of 20-somethings, whether they're in college or out of college, and, you know, just the tremendous levels of debt that they're dealing with and how that kind of shapes their lives. And, you know, when they're entering this market, this job economy, with such a degree of debt, it really kind of changes the game for them. And, you know, this had just been kind of a random tip that someone had kind of passed on to me, that he had noticed, you know, more college women using these sites. And literally one night I created a profile and was literally just blown away by the numbers of, you know, college-educated young women that were resorting to such extremes.
Ooh, yeah, no kidding. So you, when you created that profile, and what you say you created a profile, so did you get a lot of hits on that?
No, I just created kind of an anonymous profile. You know, I didn't upload a picture or anything like that.
Right.
It was just a way of sort of getting into the kind of back end of the site to start, you know, looking through profiles because,
yeah.
you know, it's password protected. So, you know, you can't just start perusing the site without any of these sites, really, without being a member.
Yeah, no kidding. And so the word sugar daddies, I mean, that's it, right? To get to an older guy who has money, who's willing to pay so that you can chunk, so they can chunk away some of this money, this outrageous amount of money that they've had to click up to go to school.
Right, exactly. I mean, you can call it a sugar daddy. You could also call it prostitution.
No kidding.
You know, there was a whole sort of wide range of different relationships of the women that I interviewed, both here in New York City and on the telephone around the country. And, you know, some of them have sort of one-night liaisons that they get, you know, money for, and others have sort of ongoing relationships that they get kind of a monthly stipend for kind of all manner of things. But, you know, the piece that I focused on was just the fact that this money is being used to obviously pay their bills and pay their rent, but then also going toward, you know, paying down their tremendous tuition debt as well.
Did the women that you spoke with, did they feel like they were involved in prostitution?
You know, it was kind of mixed. I don't know if you can kind of chalk it up to sort of, you know, the things that we do and the lies that we tell ourselves to kind of, I don't know, blur reality or what have you. I mean, some of the women clearly were very clear that they were getting sex for money and that it was no different than, you know, being a sex worker. But then on the kind of opposite end of the spectrum, you know, women that have an ongoing relationship with someone and they meet them for dinner or they, you know, go and see a show and then they sometimes have sex and they sort of see this person regularly. Well, no, then they didn't classify that as sex work. They classified that as sort of, you know, an ongoing relationship or an arrangement, which is what these sites call it.
Yeah. What did the, because you said you spoke to some of the men as well who are supporting these women, but what did the men say about the relationship?
You know, the men were much less forthcoming and wanting to talk with a reporter, which I'm sure is not shocking.
Sure.
But of the ones that I did interview, I mean, you know, they sort of see this as, you know, some of them see it as simply kind of like a call girl service, and others see it as having kind of an ongoing relationship with these women. You know, one of the men that I profiled in my piece is a 70-year-old man who lives here in New York City, and he was saying that, you know, he really likes it when some of the women that he goes out with, you know, that they, when they have college debt, because he feels like, well, at least he's giving this money, and it's, you know, it's not going toward sort of, you know, shoes or wardrobe, but it's going to, you know, toward paying down debt that I think many people think of as at least sort of good debt, or, you know, debt, you know, assumed to kind of better one's life.
Yeah. You talked about being able to get in, the reason why you did the profile, the anonymous profile, so you could get in and do a little research and see what you could find. Was there any kind of trend? Were they Ivy League schools, or, you know, where did you find in what you did as far as the schools were concerned?
Well, that was really, I think, the most shocking part. So we literally just had been kind of asking them for as much data as I could get. And the 800,000 members on this one website, which is called Seeking Arrangement, and there are dozens of these sites, but on just this one in particular, of the 800,000 members, about 35% are currently enrolled college students. And they figure that out because these women and young men too are using, you know, .edu email addresses to register with the site, which they then verify. And when we ask them to list the kind of, you know, the top 20 schools by sugar babies, essentially, you know, NYU topped the list with, I think it was about 498 sugar babies and just on down the line. I mean, Harvard was listed, Tulane, the University of Southern California. You know, just, and again, a lot of these schools are expensive schools. I mean, tuition at NYU is $55,000 a year. So it's, you know, I certainly see a relationship with sort of the cost of college and, you know, the level of desperation of some of these women.
Yeah. In doing all this and finding that out, like the NYU, et cetera, some Harvard, Tulane, throwing other schools, and like you say, you could look at the tuition and kind of figure that out. It wouldn't necessarily be shocking. But is this all a result of, one, it's so expensive these days if you don't have a scholarship or someone paying for college to pay for school? And is it also, do you think, because we cover a lot of economics here in America Tonight, do you think it's partly because of the job market?
I think it's really a combination of those things. I mean, you know, a lot of these kids assumed, you know, this great amount of debt at a time when it was sort of just assumed that they would leave school and they would get a decent job. And now, of course, you know, the rules have changed. And, you know, about half of recent graduates are underutilized, meaning they either can't get a job or they're working a part-time job or they're working a job that doesn't require a college degree. And those jobs also don't pay as much. And, you know, it's one thing to just come out of school and have a kind of minimum wage job and barely be able to pay your bills. But it's another thing if you have all of this debt on top of it. And, you know, I think it's a very, very unique challenge for this generation. And I think a lot of their identity is really going to be formed by this. Certainly they're not all resorting to sex work. That's not the point that I'm trying to make. But I certainly think the fact that some of them are is sort of emblematic of this true struggle. That I don't think a generation in America, you know, at least in recent history, has encountered in such great number.
Yeah, I agree with you. Very, very sad. And also, too, the thing that immediately, when I read your story, the thing that struck me and exactly what I was thinking is, okay, so let's say someone, you know, is a different generation, they're having these problems, you know, being able to pay this off, so they sort of blur the lines of reality or whatever, but were any of the women, or I guess even guys for that matter, were any of them worried that this could be dangerous? Because, you know, who knows who they're meeting? It's like anything with a site, as far as possibly being killed or raped or some terrible thing.
No, I mean, it's very worrisome. And, you know, the other piece of this is just the whole stigma involved in this. So, you know, nearly all of the young women that I interviewed would tell maybe one or two friends, you know, where they were going. But they kept it a secret, you know, from their families, from most of their friends, obviously. But it was just it was very shameful. And, you know, and I think that the danger factor is absolutely something that they all constantly worry about. I mean, they try and meet in a public place, at least for the first meeting. But then, you know, subsequently, once you go to a private space, whether it's, you know, their apartment or hotel room or wherever they're then headed, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a huge concern. And in that way, you know, it's not unlike, you know, any type of sex worker doing that type of work. I mean, it's very, very dangerous. And I think that on some level, they're quite conscious of that.
Yeah. And last question, Amanda, as you said, you're doing the research, it surprised you. It shocked me when I saw your article, even the title, College Students Using Sugar Daddies to Pay Off the Loan Debt. And then you go further down, you really get a sense of it. Of all the things that you've covered in education, is this one of the most horrific as far as paying off debt?
I think it's pretty dark, yeah. I mean, yeah, this one pretty much knocked my socks off. I mean, I've spoken to, you know, young people with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt, you know, living in their parents' basement and, you know, standing on a street corner and asking for a job with a handmade sign. But, I mean, this kind of takes it to a whole new level of just true, true desperation.
That's shocking. Yeah.
It certainly stayed with me. Yeah.
Yeah. You can't say enough about that. You got to check it out, folks. Amanda Fairbanks, go to HuffingtonPost.com, of course, and you can see College Students Using Sugar Daddies.